Well, I guess if he don't say a specific, you just do all three of them, huh? Let me just say something, because I know a lot of y'all are going to be ministers and are ministers coming up here and things. Sometimes you may have like a laid out message, a title with a laid out message, and you just know boom, boom, boom where you're going, where this is supposed to end up. Sometimes you may start out like that, but it seems like you may go left or you may go right. Don't let that throw you off. Because how many knows, I believe God tailor makes every service. He knows exactly who was going to be here. He deals with people to come that doesn't come. But anyway, I believe he tailor makes every service for that specific individual and that specific part of the body, right? Why? Because Psalm 23 says he sets a table before us, right? So that means we come here, we eat from him. But don't be thrown off, because sometimes I'll be like, why am I saying that? That don't even make no sense to me. Or why am I bringing up this scripture or something? How many know sometimes you got to hit everybody that God is speaking to, and it might not exactly go along with what you've got wrote down or you have in your heart for that specific service. I think it was Kenneth Hagin called it, scatter barrel, where you know, like a shotgun, you have, buckshot in it, and you shoot it, and it comes out like this, and then it just scatters everywhere. So that's sometimes what he calls those. So don't be thrown off by that. And we're all here together, right? When I say together, I don't just mean in this room together. Every one of us has something to add to every service. Whether it's just our faith while we're sitting in the pew, you're believing to hear from God, and you're believing God that if there's anything he wants you to do or say or anything like that, you're open to do it, right? So we're all together, and we're not going to get distracted. Because I believe this is very important, what we're going to be talking about this morning, which all the Word is. But anyway, the title is Fight the Good Fight of Faith. How many knows that's the only fight we're called to fight? Why is that? You'll find some people, they're fighting the devil all the time, you know. He's in their car tire, he blowed their tire out, you know. He broke their glasses, and he runned up their TV bill, and all kinds of stuff. How many knows that's not so? The only fight that we fight is the fight of faith, other than we have our own fight with our own flesh, right? We have to keep it under subjection and all of that. But if you got your Bible, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. The reason why I say this is the only fight that we're called to fight is because how many knows the Bible says Jesus stripped the devil. He whooped him, stripped him openly, made a show of him, right? So our fight is the fight to keep the faith. So here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, and I'm going to be reading in the King James Version. Now I don't like to take things out of context, so I'm going to read a scripture above where I'm actually wanting to go. I'm going to start in verse 10, but the scriptures above verse 10, what he's talking about in context, he's talking about don't be going after money. Don't be greedy, right? And then you pick it up here in verse 10. He says, for the love of money, you'll hear some people misquote this and say money. It does not say money. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. There's nothing wrong with money. Far too long, the devil and some preachers and theologians and things has told God's people, we're not supposed to have anything. We're not supposed to have any money. Well, if that's the case, I mean, I just heard a guy the other day, his TV bill, he's a TV preacher, comes and preaches on TV, $6 million. I said million with an M. $6 million is his TV bill. And we're supposed to have no money? You think they take a check of faith? No, they don't. They want their cash, right? Well, we got to have money. Why? We've got kingdom work to do. But he says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, so we know who he's talking to, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Don't think that's going to heaven. That's not going to heaven. How many knows you get born again, the life of God, which is eternal life, because God is eternal, comes on the inside of us. But how many knows then there's a walking in that and receiving more of that that we're supposed to do. He says eternal life. He says, where art thou also called and has professed, that word professed translates confess, a good profession or confession before many witnesses. Now, why did I read that? Because he tells us what kind of fight it is. It's a good fight. Why? It's a fight of faith. Now, let's look over to Mark chapter 4. If you haven't been here, and for those that have been here, we did last year, starting at the beginning of the year, at the leading of the Lord, on this parable. And we use, because you have to have the three different ones, places where it's at to get the fullness of it. It's in Matthew 13, I think, Luke 8, and Mark 4. And it is the parable of the sower sows the word. Now, for time's sake, we're going to start here. We was probably on that, what, 7-8 months, I think, something like that. During this time, God spoke some things to some of us, if not all of us, that we was to believe God for. One of them, for me, was my brother. And I don't really have time to get into all that, but for time's sake, we're going to pick this up here in verse 13. And I'm going to be reading this in the Amplified Bible. If you don't have Amplified, Beth will put the Amplified up on the screen for us. Now, he had done told him the parable, and the Pharisees, his disciples has come to him, and they want to know because they don't understand it. Verse 13, and he said to them, do you not discern and understand this parable? And notice what he says. How then is it possible for you to discern and understand all the parables? That tells us this is the main one. This is like the granddaddy. You better get this one, because if you don't get this one, you will not understand the rest of them, right? 14, the sower sows the word. He's explaining the parable that he had told them. 15, the ones along the path are those who have the word sown in their hearts, but when they hear, Satan comes at once and by force takes away the message which is sown in them. Now, let me say this, because we learned this, or I did, during this parable or whatever, that you can hear things, but you don't hear them. You can hear them with these ears, but you never hear them, and they never get down on the inside of you. And one of the things that we learned was a willing heart causes you to have a hearing ear. One of the things that I brought up is I did not get saved the first time I heard the gospel. I don't know really how many times I had heard it before I actually heard it with my heart, with my ears and in my heart, and received it. How many knows that sometimes God doesn't make things hard on you? But how many knows the life you live, and if you're not born again, your father is the devil. I mean, there's no way around that. There's only one or the other, right? There's only God becoming your father or the devil. So a lot of times when you're following him, the Bible talks about how your life can go into destruction. And the Bible says when we get born again, that God has redeemed our lives from destruction, right? Over in the book of Psalms. So sometimes you go through hardship and you're not hearing and you're not hearing and you're not hearing. But how many knows that hardship can cause your head to get softer to where now you're so desperate you want to hear anything, right? So that's what he's talking about there. He says, 16, and in the same way, the ones sown upon stony ground are those who, when they hear the word, at once receive and accept and welcome it with joy. We learned in this parable, faith is always accompanied by joy and peace, right? So we know there that faith came into the heart. And they have no real root in themselves, or in other words, the word of God ain't been in there long enough to gain any kind of root. Just like, you know, when you sow a garden or you plant a seed or whatever, that thing has to stay in there a little while before it ever even starts gaining any roots. And so they endure for a little while. Then when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, they immediately are offended, become displeased, indignant, resentful, and they stumble and fall away. And the ones sown among the thorns are those who hear the word, then the cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of the age, football, wrestling, baseball, whatever the case may be, partying with your friends. Y'all ain't saying nothing. All these things, cleaning your house, work. I know Scotty, because he's a very busy man and he owns his own business. And I mean, there's times people, used to nobody would call on Sunday. Now it's like people call on Sunday. They call 9 o'clock at night. They don't care, and everything they want done, they wanted it done yesterday. Plus, he pastors a church and got cows, and now he got more cows and all this stuff. How many knows he has to keep his mind? Because if he don't keep his mind, because he is busy, how many knows you can get too busy for God? And if you're too busy for God, you're not doing what God told you to do, because he would never make you too busy for him. So you have to make sure that you're not adding things to yourself and get too busy, because it's going to cost you if you do. He says, the cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of the age, and the pleasure and delight in false glamour and deceitfulness of riches, and the craving and passionate desire for other things, creep in, that means a little bit at a time, to where you won't notice that the devil's hoping. Creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. And those sown on the good, well-adapted soil. Now, we learned this too. In this parable, you go through many different things, right? We done read it, all of them. We done read how distraction of the age, deceitfulness of riches, you know, offense and all that. You got to be adapting yourself and your heart all the time. But the Holy Ghost will lead us through this, right? But he says, and those sown on the good, well-adapted soil are the ones who hear the word. Number one, you got to hear it. Romans 10:17, faith comes how? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not just any word. Every word is not good for me. Every word is not the word that I need to hear. The Bible says a word is good when? In its season. When it's that time for that. So you got to hear the word, and you got to receive the word. Some people won't receive it. Why? It upsets them. They don't like it. He says you got to receive it and accept it and welcome it and bear fruit. He says some 30 times as much as with some, some 60 times as much, and some even 100 times as much. And then he goes on here. Let's see. Yeah, I'm going to read that one to 25. And he said to them, is the lamp brought in to be put under a peck, measure, or under a bed, and not to be put on the lampstand? Things are hidden. He's talking about the kingdom. Things are hidden temporarily, only as a means to revelation. Now, what does that mean? Everybody can't see it. I can't see it without he reveals it to me. You can't see it without he reveals it to you. But who does he reveal it to? He says the seekers. You can be born again, but if you ain't a seeker, there ain't going to be a whole lot of revelation coming to you. Because the thing about it is, if you didn't do the last revelation he gave you, why would he give you more? It's kind of like I heard somebody praying one time. Oh, God, give me the anointing. God, increase the anointing and all that. And God asked him, he said, why do you need an increase of the anointing to sit on the couch? Really? Do you need an increase of the anointing if you're not doing anything with what you've already been given? That's what he's talking about. He says, for there is nothing hidden except to be revealed. That's why it's hid, so that everybody don't get it. Nor is anything temporarily kept secret, except in order that it may be made known. He says, if any man here has ears to hear, let him be listening, and let him perceive and comprehend. And he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear. That is a mouthful. That's why I've been saying here lately, you cannot hear the word, welcome it, be glad, receive it, go out the door and forget about it. Because that's what he's saying here. The amount of attention and study and time and meditation and doing of the word that I give to that, he says here, will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. So in the kingdom, there's a law. It says you reap what? What you sow. Right? It's a law. It cannot be changed. But if I'm not putting anything into the kingdom, guess what I'm going to get out of the kingdom? Nothing. But if I'm putting my whole heart in the kingdom of God, and I'm studying, and I'm reading, and I'm meditating, you are going to get stuff. And most of you already in here, you know it by experience. But he says, and more besides, even what you got, you're going to get more. He says, will be given to you who hear. It says, but for to him who has will more... for to him who has will more be given, and from him who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away by force. Now let's go over to James chapter 1. I'm just trying to lay a little bit before we actually go where I believe the Lord wants us to. Excuse me. And I'm going to read this one in the Amplified, so Beth will put it on the screen. James chapter 1, I'm going to start reading in verse 19. He says, what did I say? I was going to read that in? Yeah, Amplified it. All right. Excuse me. He says, understand this, my beloved brethren. Let every man be quick to hear, a ready listener. Slow to speak. I'm having to work on this one. Slow to take offense and to get angry. For man's anger does not promote the righteousness that God wishes and requires. So get rid of all uncleanness and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness, and in a humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the word, which implanted, talking about your heart, and rooted, It's got to stay in there. You can't let it be stolen. In your hearts, he says, contains the power to save your souls. He says, but be doers of the word, obey the message. Now, I said something last week that I should have not have said it that way. I remember saying that if the Lord's dealing with you, go to church, and you go to church, you really ain't done nothing yet. Yes, you have. Because what I mean by that is there's some of us that we're way beyond that. I'm not in that go to church thing. I mean, that's a given. That's what I'm going to do. It's what I've been doing for years. And I will get rewarded here and now and in the life to come. There's some people they get more, and that's all God's telling them. Read your Bible and go to church. I remember, Sandy, when I got saved. That's all I know to do. That's all I had the desire to do, was read my Bible and go to church. So guess what? That's exactly what I done. And here, 20-something years later, here we are. So it's whatever God is telling you to do, be doer of it. Just like right now, I believe the Holy Ghost is talking to people. I believe he'll be talking to people through this whole service this morning. And you may even hear something that I did not even say. But the Holy Ghost is talking to you, right? But notice what he says. He says, but be doers of the word. Obey the message. Whatever you hear, just do it. Even if it seems like you can't. Y'all remember the story? I know that y'all wasn't here. So y'all won't remember. But anyway, years and years ago, we got in a mess financially. I think it was 2008 and 2009 and the economy and different things. And so at this time, Scotty got doors on the credit on a 30-day account. So he would order the doors, you know, on his 30-day account, and he would put them in, and the people supposed to pay him, you know. Well, 2008 and 2009, how many knows there was a kind of a recession there or whatever. Well, some people didn't pay him. And you can't go back and take those doors out. Because once you put them in, they have now become a part of that house. All you can do now is take them to court as far as legally or whatever. Well, so some people didn't pay us. Then because things wasn't coming in, we actually spent more money than we were supposed to. So then that got us in more trouble. Till before long, the lawyers gets involved, you know, and they're calling and they're telling what they're going to do. And y'all have heard the story. Scotty wanted to go eat lunch with him. But lunch was not what he wanted to do. How many knows you can feel things, but don't yield to what you feel and don't say them. Anyway, to make a long story short, in our hearts, we wanted to pay these people because, I mean, we're right. You know what I'm saying? But we just did not have it. I mean, it come down to the point to where all we had to eat in the house was a half a jar of peanut butter and a can of cream of mushroom soup, and I got a 16-year-old boy. What's that say? He wants to eat the house down. And now he ain't had to figure out, you know, why he tells his kids, not right now, wait till supper, because they want to eat all the time. But anyway, we don't have the money to pay these people. You know, and so the lawyer keeps calling, and we want to pay him, but we can't say no way to pay him, and we're not going to lie. Y'all better hear what I'm telling you. And we're not going to lie. But we honestly, we cannot see. We have tried to figure out every way we could to pay these people, and people's not paying us and all of this, so we're in a mess. But Scotty's on the phone with him one day. He calls again, you know. Lawyers are persistent. Anyway, he calls again, you know, and Scotty's on the phone. And I don't know why, other than maybe I was led, and I tell you, just agree to pay him. Just agree to pay him. He's like, I don't know how, I ain't got no money to pay him. I know y'all don't do none of this. You know, you cover up the phone, and then you're talking, you know, and you get back on the phone. Well, Mama can be cheering me out, and she get the phone call, hello. I can do the same thing. Probably all of us can. But anyway, I got to stay on my story here. Y'all getting me off. We don't have the money to pay him. So he finally agreed to pay him. We still do absolutely not know how. But we told the Lord, God, we told these people, this is our bill. We owe this. We're not trying to get out of it. God, help us. Give us the money to pay them. We didn't tell anybody about this. Not my mama, not nobody knew about this except me and him. And maybe Travis knew, I mean, you know, because he lived at home and everything. But lo and behold, we agreed to pay them. Don't know how we're going to pay them. Scotty told him, said, okay, we're going to pay you $500 a month. I said, $500 a month? Are you serious? I can't even go to the grocery store. We don't even have 50 cents to buy a Coke on the way to church. I can't tell you how we get to church and back because we got no money for no gas. And we don't tell nobody here. And we still got to get up here and we still got to preach faith, right? We still got to tell you what the Word says. Well, I cannot preach what I'm going through. I must preach the word. So anyway, we told him we'd pay him $500 a month, and we do not know how this is coming. Lo and behold, we didn't tell nobody. We come to church, and Sandy, which is she's been here from the beginning, goes to Scotty and tells Scotty, said, I believe the Lord said and told me in my heart, you know, you're supposed to get $500 a month from the church for pastoring the church. You know, because a lot of times you'll have a parsonage or they pay your insurance or something other, you know, down those lines. Y'all didn't hear what I said or you'd be excited. We agreed by faith. We don't know how God's going to do it. I don't have a clue. But here goes God. Sandy comes and tells him, going to give you $500 a month from the church, you know. And she doesn't know what's happening, but God does. That $500 a month, every month, paid that off. Paid that entirely full. Why am I saying that? Because we have, the Bible says in Romans 1:17, it says, herein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith. How many knows there's different levels? Jesus himself said of the centurion, I have not seen such great faith in all of Israel, right? When he told him, you don't got to come to my house. Just speak the word. Jesus said, that's great faith. Then he tells his disciples over there in the storm, they're like, Jesus, don't you care we're dying? What do you tell them? Oh, you have little faith. Where is your faith? So there's different levels, but he says you go from faith, to Romans 1:17, you go from faith to faith. And he says, and the just shall live by faith. What does that mean? Well, according to Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and that's not like our wish. That's not what that says. You look that word hope for up, it means a confident expectation. So it's substance of the things hoped for, but the evidence, right? They do that in the court of law. They convict you or do not by the evidence of things not seen. Faith is you know it in here. You know it. You're not hoping. You're not wishing. You're not hoping God will do it. You know it in here. To you, it is done. Whatever that it is, but you cannot see it yet with these eyes. And sometimes that is so frustrating. Why? Because in here it's a done deal and I see it. I know it. But with these eyes, I'm still waiting on the manifestation to see it. But that's what he says faith is. And that's how we're supposed to live. The Bible says we're not supposed to live by sight. Right? Why? Because sight is flesh. Sight is can change. Right? The Bible says, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen, for the things that are seen, they're temporal, they're temporary, subject to change at any minute. You can be sick and boom, believe God and be healed. You can be broke, boom, believe God and be rich. Y'all not saying nothing. I'm telling you. I stand here before you today, I owe no man nothing except to love him, as the Bible said. This started out 30 years ago nearly, 20-something years ago, when we heard the word of how God wanted to bless us and prosper us financially. And as the saying goes, we are so broke, we can't even halfway pay attention. We are in debt, $1,000 a month, nothing but vehicle payments. Got a trailer payment. I mean, we own nothing. $40 a month for the window, air conditioner. I mean, anything, TV. We don't own nothing but that word. We heard that word, and we are so desperate. We heard that word. We believe that word. We embrace that word. I can't tell you how many sermons, Sandy, I have listened to about financial prosperity. Number one, had to overcome other people that think they know something and telling us that God says it's not for us. Well, if it's not for us or you, who is it for? The devil and his bunch? For Budweiser? For porn places? All of that? Listen, they have got boo-coodles of money. And I don't think they're doing much for God with it. And so you try to tell me that God doesn't want his people blessed? That God doesn't want his people healed? That's part of prosperity. Just like the woman over there with the issue of blood, y'all remember, right? She touched the hem of his garment because she kept saying, she had it in her heart and she kept saying, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. And when she touched him, she was. But what did he tell her? Your faith has made you whole. Notice what he said. He didn't say your faith is healed. Because now you got to remember about that woman. That woman, I believe she had the issue of blood for 12 years. And the Bible says she had been to doctor after doctor. Listen, doctors don't take faith. They take cash or check or insurance. Anyway, they're going to get paid, right? Well, the Bible says she had spent all her money. for 12 years, more than likely, she's been going to doctor after doctor after doctor. And y'all know doctors ain't cheap, especially you get up there to where you're high doctors, that they actually really know quite a bit that specialize in certain fields. And the Bible says she only grew worse, but Jesus told her, your faith has made you whole. I believe with all my heart, he told her, faith has made you whole, because her money was restored, her health was restored, right? She wasn't just sick, she lost her money too. And so he told her, you've been made whole, your money and everything. Money is for us. Money is for God's people. Why? Number one, he wants you blessed. I can't buy somebody's groceries at the grocery store if I'm using a calculator and got to put stuff back myself. And I have been there and done that. And I'm never going to forget where I come from. That makes me think, maybe I got time for it. Scotty had to get him some loaf bread during the ice thing, you know. I mean, I have got food galore in there. But this man, there's one piece of bread and two end pieces. And I tell him, I said, there's bread in there. No, it's end pieces. I said, you forget where you come from? You can't eat end pieces? You got to run to the store? No, that's fine if he wants to go get a loaf of bread. Well, I went right in there, and I ate the two end pieces of bread. In other words, I can eat end pieces, even though I could go buy the grocery store out of loaf bread if I want to, but I can still eat the end pieces. So I've not forgot. But at the same time, for nearly 30 years, we have heard that word about financial prosperity, put it in our hearts, and done our best to be doers of that word. Give whenever it looks like we can't afford it. Last $2 one time, and we did not, and we got in trouble for that. And I don't got time for that story. How many knows there's time? Because the Bible says the way in the kingdom is now, if you want to go up. The way of the kingdom, we're not talking about natural, we're talking about kingdom. If you want, what do you got to do? You're going to have to give. And sometimes it hurts to give. And sometimes it's a sacrifice. Then other times, it don't hurt all that bad to give. You understand what I'm telling you? But it takes faith to do everything that we do. But for all of those years, we kept putting that word in. And all those years along the way, we would have to make little adjustments. Just like whenever we couldn't pay our bills or anything, and we are in a mess, and we both cried out to God and said, God, help us. Help us get out of this mess. And God spoke to Scotty and said, sell that truck right there. Now, just because he told him that, don't y'all go sell your truck, think that's going to get you out. You better listen to whatever he tells you. He might not want you to sell your truck, or whatever the case may be. But he did. Most of y'all have heard the story. Lined it up down there. Willie Marsh is looking for a truck. He wants a silver one, and he wants a four-wheel drive, and he wants a Dodge. Scott said, I got the truck right out here. He walks out there, looks at the truck, and buys it. So, boom, there went one bill. But that goes back to what I was talking about last week. We have to discipline our little flesh. Why? Because God can bring it in. But you can let it go right out with your flesh and the devil, right? And it takes faith to do it all. But he says, be a doer of the word. Obey the message. Whatever you hear, just do it. And the reason why I brought up all that is sometimes you don't even see how you can do it. But I guarantee you, I'm reminded about the story this morning about, I didn't ever have any money to give. I mean, the only money I got was grocery money and gas money or something, you know, and bill money. You know, so I didn't really ever have anything to give. And anyway, I'm watching Kenneth Copeland one day. And all of a sudden, the Lord speaks to my heart on the inside. He says, I want you to send Kenneth Copeland $50 a month. I said, God, he might as well have said a million. I've got 50 extra dollars a month. Are you kidding me? I mean, I'm going to the grocery store with a calculator and I can't pay my bills. I'm having to figure out which bill do I pay because they ain't enough. And he speaks to my heart and he says, I want you to give Kenneth Copeland Ministries $50 a month. I said, okay, God. I said, if you send it, I will give it. I promise. Well, how many knows you go over there, what is that, 2 Corinthians 9? 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 9, I can't remember now. But he says what? He gives seed to who? Number one, by faith in your heart. Make up your heart. I'm going to be a sower. I didn't have it. I didn't need to have it. He says he's the supplier, right? But I got to do what he says. So I can't see how I'm going to do it, but I committed by faith. God, you send it, and I will do it. Lo and behold, as the story goes, Scotty, when he would minister at our church, just like here, they wouldn't give him anything. You know, you're a part of that body, so you minister to the body, you know. Well, anyway, they asked him to do a special youth night service thing. And when he did, they gave him a check for $50. Oh, boy, is he excited. You know where he wants to go? The grocery store. I mean, we eat beans and taters and sometimes pintos three times a day, you know, at this time. So, woo, $50 at the ground. I know that wouldn't get much now, but back then it did. This has been a while, you know. And he comes in, he's all excited, and he tells me about it, and he shows me the check, and he says, go to the grocery store. I said, we can't go to the grocery store. Why not? He didn't know. I didn't tell him. So then I told him the story. I said, God spoke to my heart, told me to give St. Kenneth Copeland $50 a month, and I told God, okay, God, if you'll send it, I'll do it, and here's my $50. There's my $50. I still, to this day, which has been 20-something years later, I still send Kenneth Copeland Ministries $50 a month. Why? He never told me to stop. And he has supplied it all this time. Scotty even made me stop one time because we ain't got no money for nothing. I mean, we ain't even got food or whatever. And so he told me, and so I said, okay. I went out on my back porch, started crying. I said, God, I know you told me to give that $50 a month, but I'm going to do what he says. I'm going to submit to him. But God, you bypass it. And he sure enough did. Come right down here to church. Some things had happened. I was cleaning the church. I got pregnant and all that. I'm not going through all that. And so Sandy started doing it. And I didn't tell her nothing about this. She comes to me. She says, well, I know why you had me start, or let me start cleaning the church and everything, you know. And if you want it, I'll just give it back to you. Did you hear what I said? There is my $50 a month. And Scotty is on the sidelines. Now, he tells me my money, what he considers to be my money, I can do what I want to with that. I said, God, there you are. Why am I telling you this? You can do anything God tells you to do. Even though it might not look like it, you might not feel like it, it might take you a little while to get the kinks worked out or whatever, but we can be doers of the word. And when we are doers of the word, listen, one reason why a lot of marriages don't last anymore is because they don't enter into a covenant, they enter into agreement. Agreements can be broken. Covenants are never to be broken. God says with us, his covenant, he will not break. He's not a man that he should lie. So if I do the word, guess what? He is bound by his word, obligated in covenant to do what his part of what he said of his promises. Amen? So if I'm not getting results, it's because I'm not doing it somewhere, or I've got to exercise my patience until it comes into full manifestation. Now, let's go over to, excuse me, Mark 11. Very familiar scriptures. Probably every one of us in here could quote them. But how many knows it ain't in the quoting? The devil quotes the word, right? Quoted it to Jesus. He's trying to quote it to me this morning. I said, I know who you are. I know who you are. God don't talk to me like that. So I know who you are, and I'm not listening to you. Mark 11, I'm going to read this in the King James. And Beth, I need it put up there the way I got it wrote, because that I meant to do that on purpose. Out of order? All right, Mark 11. Now, the story, just to back up and give a little bit of context on this, they had been going somewhere, and y'all remember the story where Jesus cursed the fig tree, right? He saw leaves, and he thought there'd be some fruit, and they wasn't, so he cursed it. Right? The Bible says it dried up from the root. Immediately dried up from the root. Now, it started at the root, but they didn't see nothing whenever they left. So as the story goes, they come back the exact same way the next day. And then I believe it was Peter said, Master, the fig tree you cursed is dried up from the root. All Jesus done was spoke to him. Now, to pick that up here in 22, it says, And Jesus answering, talking to the disciples, because they had brought up the fig tree, saith unto them, Have faith in God. Do I got to amplify on this or not? No, it's King James. Got to make sure here. He says, saith unto them, Have faith in God. Do not have faith in the word. Because if you ain't careful, you'll get faith in a formula. God is not a formula. And even though we got written word, we got Holy Spirit inside, right? And he's the one directs us which word. He says, have faith in God. Skip down to verse 24. He says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire. What is that scripture? It's in Proverbs. Talks about God will give you the desires of your heart. That if we'll, I can't quote it right now. Somebody quote it if you can get it. Remember it right quick. Y'all can't either? Okay, anyway. He says here, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray. Notice what he said now. He didn't say something in your head. He's talking about a desire that's in your heart. What is that thing that you crave that you can't seem to do without? It's a desire. It burns within you. He says, when you pray, do what? Believe that you receive them, and what? You shall have them. Now, go up to, 24? Go up to 23. I'm doing it this way for on purpose. He says, for verily I say unto you, that whatsoever you shall, what? Say, unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shalt not doubt, not in your head, he says, not in your heart. There's a difference. You can have doubt come to your head, and you got to cast that down, and it not be in your heart. He says, which he saith shall come, but shall believe that those things which he saith, that's the second time in that same verse he said say, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he what? Three times in one verse he says say. 24, he said one time pray. Right? So that's very important. Now go down to 25. He says, and when you stand praying, forgive. Well, you don't know what they did to me. It don't matter. Don't matter. They can't do any more to you than they did to Jesus himself, right? More than they did to Stephen himself, right? And he's up there and they're stoning him and he says, Father, forgive them. For they don't know what they're doing. Forgive them, Lord. And the Bible says that Jesus stood up when Stephen was being stoned. I never ever read anywhere that other that it said that, where Jesus stood up. But notice what he says there. And when you stand praying, forgive. It don't matter what they did to you. Listen, sometimes things are just in your head that you feel like some people are supposed to do for you. Ain't nobody owe you nothing. God, y'all ain't saying, thank you, Samantha. Y'all not saying nothing. See, that's part of the big problem that's wrong with people today. They think everybody owe them something. They come get in line in front of you because you should let me in line. Why you think I should let you in line? Well, you're a Christian, ain't you? You're supposed to love, don't you? Yeah, I love you enough. You better get the back of that line because I'm fixing to lay some hands on you. In love. See, the world don't tell us how we're supposed to love. This tells me how I'm supposed to love. And the Bible says that people will know that we are his disciples. Why? Because we have love one for another. I love you, but don't think you're going to walk all over me because you're not. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I heard this thing the other day. These squatters, have y'all heard about this? These squatters are moving into these houses, empty houses. Did y'all say that about that one guy? He turned the tables on him. Did you say that, Sandy? You're laughing. Anyway, his daddy passed away. He had to put his mama somewhere. You know, she couldn't stay by herself. And so he don't live right there at that area. Well, lo and behold, he gets word that there's a U-Haul truck pulled up to his mama's house, and they're unloading furniture. And he goes over there, and he calls the law, and the law comes and says, we can't do anything. Are you kidding me? I guarantee you I could do something. So this is what he does. He goes over there. They kicked in the back door. Well, they don't change the locks or anything, so his keys still work. He goes over there, unlocks the door, starts moving stuff in, and says, get out of my house, and if you want to call the law, call them. They won't do nothing. He kicked the squatters right out of his house. He did what the law could not do. Now, was that love or was that not love? Now, I'm not saying that. See, we get real confused about this stuff. Love is not a feeling. It can have feelings. Love is not an emotion. It can have emotions. How do I know what love is? 1 Corinthians 13 and other parts of the Bible tells me what love is. The Bible says God is love. He doesn't have it. He is it. Now, will God part your hair and crease your britches for you? You better believe it. And he says he'll do it because he loves us. Right? He chastens or corrects those that he loves. So listen, just because I love and I have the love of God in me does not mean people can just do anything they want to with me. I mean, just like this, I have things that God has given me. You really think God expects me just to let the devil come up there and have a heyday at my house? Absolutely not. Come in and disrupt the peace of my house? Absolutely not. So what do I got to do? Number one, I'm going to have to stand up and I'm going to have to take authority. I have that authority given by God, right? I know the Bible says turn the other cheek. I'm not trying to say something that it don't say, but keep it in the context that it's saying it. If it's somebody smacks you on your cheek or whatever, he says turn the other one, right? But then you read the text that's in. But at the same time, you can't just let the devil and people that are yielding to the devil come and just have a heyday with all your stuff or your children. Those are your children. You're the ones has authority over those children. You're going to give an account to God of what you did and did not do with those children. They're not going to. Right? I don't know what y'all get me off on all that for, but anyway. But notice that what he says there in 24. He said, in light of Mark 4 that we just read, he says, therefore I say unto you, what thing soever, that's anything, right? You desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. When you going to believe you receive them? Okay, it's kind of like this. I'm going to have to tell this. God spoke to my heart whenever we was on that message, the sower sows the word for the 7 or 8 months, whatever we was on it. Excuse me. And I know it did other people. But he told us in that parable, number one, you got to hear the word. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. How do I know that I'm healed? The Bible tells me. 1 Peter 2:24, right? It's already been done. It's a past tense thing. You go over to Isaiah 53 and Isaiah was prophesying about what was to come. All that's already done, right? So, excuse me, there's nothing else for him to do for me to receive my healing, right? So now it's my part. That's a promise in the word of God, right? And all his promise in him are yes and in him amen. And he's promised about our healing, right? He's promised about our financial prosperity, a lot of different promises that he's given us. Okay, I've got to hear the word about that. The Bible says, how can they hear without a preacher? And today, don't many people want no preacher. I tell you, me and Jesus, we got it all by ourselves in my living room. You got a bunch of flake is what you got. Because if you ain't careful, you're going to get real warped up. Y'all ever met some flaky Christians? Yeah. It's because they all spirit, they think, which is not a right spirit, and very little word. This word will help you discern what's God, what's not God. It'll help you become like a rock, that you will become stable. Why? Because it's his word. Well, you desire that whenever you pray, so when you have to believe it. You have to believe you have it now. Like my brother, for an example, because we did that parable, he said, number one, you got to hear the word. Number two, you got to receive the word. Number three, you got to welcome the word. And number four, you got to keep it. How you keep it? By doing it. Day after day after day after day. Now, for y'all that don't know, my brother's in prison. He's been in there for, what is that? This April will be 7 years if he stays that long, because I don't know the day or the hour. But anyway, while we was on this parable, God spoke to my heart and he gave me a word. And I was going to ask for, I don't know, something supernatural here down at church, something with y'all or whatever. Anyway, and God directed me in my heart to ask for my brother to come home. See, my brother, according to them, he's got, what, 6, 7 more years somewhere around in there? What was it, 19 and supposed to do 12? Yeah. So anyway, long time. And so he told me, directed me in my heart to ask for my brother to come home early. So I did, and to me, he did. Why am I telling you that? Because to me, and this has been, gosh, I don't know, is it 6 months? 10 months. So it's been a long time that I've been believing this. But from the moment that I asked God, it got in my heart. Remember, go back to the parable, and so or so's the word. Yeah, I heard it. I believed it. I received it. It got in my heart. And now have I told y'all lately? My brother's at home sleeping in his own bed in my mama's house with his fat back shining. He's kind of hefty. You know, he's been in jail. He was kind of like Nemo before he went in. You know, and now it's all kind of went down a little bit. You know how big Nemo is up here? My brother, he's a little bit of a big guy. But anyway, there is nothing I mean, that's like cement. You cannot, you can't beat that out of me. You can't talk that out of me. And I'm not the one keeping it there. It's there. You understand? All you got to do is keep it. Have I had the devil come and tell me? Oh, you better believe it. He likes to play head games. Why? Because if he can get this, he'll get this. But if he can't get this, he will not get this. But he says whatsoever things. Listen, and it don't say if you've been good enough. Y'all not saying nothing. See, a lot of times we base what God can and will do for us and how much he loves for us based on our behavior, and that is never in the Word. Now, there is a life to live. I'm not saying that there's not. But at the same time, the devil will tell you, oh, no, you messed up over here. Oh, you got mad at Scotty. Oh, you did this. Oh, you didn't walk in love over here. If that stuff comes up, repent of it. But then when he starts telling you that stuff, it's called condemnation. And you got to cast that baby down according to 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. And you got to cast that thought down every time it comes up. Why? Because you're keeping something in your heart if you want to see it. Because see, he says, when you pray, when you ask God for it, if you believed it in your heart, it's yours, it will be yours. I was thinking about y'all this morning. I thought, God, they can have all the babies they can believe for. Blessed is the man whose quiver's full of them, right? Children is a blessing from the Lord, right? So what's that mean? Whatever that it is, you better believe it when you pray. And if you believed it when you prayed, see, I'm not running around trying to do something to get my brother here. Y'all better hear what I'm telling you. Because if I am, I'm really not in faith. All I'm doing, I'm just kicked back waiting. And every now and then, whenever I think about it, whenever it comes up to me, I say out loud, people there, people not there. I don't care why. Because you go back up to the verse before it that you say, that you say, that you say, that you say, that you say. And listen to me. You can say it 100 times, don't mean it's going to come to pass. It's not in the saying. It's in the believing that causes you to say. Y'all get what I'm telling you? See, some people's been mixed up about this, and they think they've done the Word, and they think they've kept it, but they really didn't because they're running around trying to make the Word come to pass. You don't make the Word come to pass. All we do is get it in our heart, believe it, and say it, and let our patience work, and it will come to pass. You will see my brother here in this church before his time of release date on his papers. How can I say that? I mean, the devil's told me, oh, you're going to say all that and they're not going to say it and they know you didn't know it. Shut up. Just shut up. Because to me, it's done. To me, he's already here. You understand what I'm saying? Now, if you ain't got that in your heart, the only way you're going to get that is you're going to have to hear the Word, hear the Word. You're going to have to hear the Word on them babies, hear the Word on them babies, hear the Word on them babies. See, I told you I stand here debt-free today, but it's because we put that Word in, and we put it in, and we put it in, and we put it in. And every time we looked at the calculator, and every time we looked at our billfold, and ain't no money in there, we still said it. And glory to God, God brings the Word to pass. Good grief. Sorry. Y'all don't mind me getting in trouble again. All right, we're going to have to recess. I can't even let